Fest for a couple months. What are you doing when you hear this music? Walking in the stadium, you're not hearing the music, maybe if you're going to the game.
No. So if you're watching on TV, I'd be standing up.
Waiting for, who's on the panel now? Is it Jason Garrett still? Is it Tony Dungy?
Please, no more Jason
Garrett. Who's Football Night in America? Who is it?
It's probably...
It's Tirico and Collinsworth, right?
For sure on that. And then it's... Didn't they take Tony Dungy out of the studio last year?
Maybe.
Jason Garrett, I know. Jason Garrett.
Sal Capaccio joins us on the Wester Hotline. Sunday Night Football to open the season. It comes all the way back to that, Sal. You know, we're like kids on Christmas or whatever. You look at the box, you shake it a bunch of times, you think it's five different things, you talk yourself into a bunch, and then you open it, and it's what you thought it might have been originally. Bills Ravens Sunday Night Football. A beauty of a start for the Bills and for the NFL.
Yeah, it's kind of what the league actually does with the schedule, guys, to be honest with you. They go through a bunch of iterations of it, and the one that finally pops out, as Mike North always says, there's thousands of these things, and then they finally get to one where they bring it finally to the commissioner and say, you know, what do you think? And it's not like he's nixing all the other ones, right? But they think that this is the one, and it gets close, and they do that. And, you know, I think it was on track for a long time that we thought the Bills might be in that window, especially Sunday Night Football in week one. And finally, we found out yesterday that is indeed the case. I think for a while, we all thought it could be. It was the Ravens for me for a while. Then it became the Bengals, right? We had this discussion last week. I thought it was the Bengals for a while. Ultimately, it is the Ravens. It's a rematch of the AFC Divisional Round playoff game last year. And I think for NBC and I think for the NFL, having the Ravens week one is just such a great storyline with that particular matchup rematch. Josh Allen against Lamar Jackson, the last two MVPs of this league, right? I mean, it's just it's very juicy, and it really fits. So it is a heck of a matchup for week one on all sides for the teams and the league.
Yeah, for the league, I mean, I know Mahomes is obviously the most accomplished, Sal, but I bet an average football fan across the country, if they had to name the two most exciting quarterbacks in the league, they're getting the top two in the same game.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we all know also the Chiefs were already spoken for in week one. The Eagles were already spoken for in week one, right? Your options really did come down. If you want the Bills in that window, it probably was going to be either the Bengals or the Ravens. The other two teams they play at home were already playing. So, yeah, if you're the outside, I said this last week, if you're a fan in another market, sure, you could look and say, oh my gosh, Joe Burrow, that's a great matchup. But I think just the intrigue of Lamar against Josh, week one, the rematch. You know, I mean, it fits here. It just fits here for week one, Sunday Night Football, and how this plays out with the storyline. And look, I wrote a reaction article at WGR550.com. We went on last night, Matt Bovey and I. It's always game day in Buffalo. And a big thing for me after just digesting it, and I think a lot of Bills fans share this sentiment, especially if you get through game one, right? But whatever, include game one. I mean, guys, the first 7 weeks of the Bills, they have such an opportunity here. I did the math last night. And I wrote it up. After week one against the Ravens, the Bills' next six games, the opponent's record last year combined 35-67. None made the playoffs. None were over 500. I mean, they 5-2 to me has to be the minimum expectation. Not only that you should even clear that, maybe 6-1. I mean, I just think, yes, anything can happen, but this is an opportunity for them over their first seven games. And, oh, by the way, while they're without Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi through the stretch, like, doesn't matter to me. You need to go out there, and this is a stretch where until you get to that Kansas City game, you're facing seven teams outside of the Ravens, then six other teams that really give you opportunity.
Yeah, as you lay that out, it strikes me that really the Bills in this, the one seed conversation that we've had for 5 years really now, the Bills have never been playing with the lead. Never. It's always been catch-up mode, right? Like you're a game back of the Chiefs or you're two games back of Tennessee or whatever. Whereas the way the schedule sets up, especially if you're able to beat Baltimore in week one, Sal, I mean, I'll have to look at the Chiefs schedule too and see. Yeah, you know, I don't want to make this point and like they have the same easy stretch. But it feels like if the Bills can take week one, I mean, the odds are that they're going to have control of the one seed if they can grab it.
Agreed. And actually, I'll do it for you, Joe. I'll tell you, the Chiefs have a pretty tough stretch. In fact, they play the Ravens in week four. They'll play each other.
Okay.
They also play the Eagles. They play the Chargers. They play the Lions. They play the Commanders on Monday Night Football before coming to Buffalo on a short week, right?
That's,
I mean, that's going to be a big game for the, you know, for the one seed. The Ravens might have one of the toughest starts in the league. After the Bills, they get the Browns, but then they get the Lions, the Chiefs, the Texans, the Rams before they have a bye week. So you're right. I mean, if the Bills, especially if you get that game against Baltimore. Now, we all know how this works. You can win that game, and it doesn't matter. The Bills lost to the Ravens last year, and the Ravens still the Ravens beat them, but the Bills still had the better seed. And then the Bills beat the Chiefs, and the Chiefs still had the better seed, right? But these games matter when it comes time for that. And if you want that one seed, you know, getting off to that start, I think, is going to be imperative.
Sal, we have someone in the YouTube chat asking a question, why the Bills have so many front-loaded primetime games and not late-in-the-season primetime games. And that's the second consecutive season for that, right? And if I could venture a guess, it's because the division is not expected to be all that competitive because, you know, they've got their share of big games in five primetime and four 425s. But the reason would be if Miami or New England were thought to be better, you might be more likely to get one of those. Instead, I've got the NFC North that deals with this. I've got the AFC North that's more competitive. I've just got a good number of options if I'm the NFL later in the season for divisional matchups that could hit those spots.
I would agree. That's what it strikes me as. When we kind of knew the schedule last night by the time I went on with Show Up and the Bulldog, I said the same thing, Jeremy, which is that would be my theory. Now, I don't know if that's right. The league says, okay, what if the Bills just kind of run away with the division? You know, give them the front-loaded early primetime games, and then as the season goes on, maybe that division isn't as competitive. Now, that being said, I do want to point out, as Mike North has said many times, 4:25 p.m. is a big-time window. In fact, I went back and looked last year. The 4:25 Sunday slot is actually the most watched window in the week in the NFL. Yes, primetime matters. We all know that. You get those standalone games, you get all the eyeballs. But in this day and age, on these streaming services and a lot of places where people aren't readily necessarily getting all these games, 4:25 on Fox or CBS is actually the most watched window of and spot of the weekend. You are competing with another game or two in that window usually, but there's a national window there. So what I've had this morning is a lot of people asking me or maybe complaining, excuse me, maybe complaining or asking, why do the Dolphins have as many primetime games as the Bills? And they do. The Dolphins have five. And they have, like the Bills, and they have an international game. But I'll point out, the Bills have four 4:25 p.m. starts. The Dolphins have zero. That matters to the league. So, Jeremy, your point is right about, you know, they do have a front-loaded primetime schedule. They have a back-loaded 4:25 p.m. schedule, which is really the most watched window of the week.
And I looked at this last segment, Sal. I think I heard you and Matt Bove, too, talk about this, that in terms of, like, flex potential later in the year, I don't really feel like there's a good... I thought maybe week 15, if New England is great, you could get in front of Cowboys and Vikings, but even that one, like, you're taking Dallas off. They better... I mean, Prescott would have to be injured, probably. So, picking another spot where if someone's thinking, oh, well, they have, you know, five right now, but maybe they end up with six or seven, I have a tough time finding where that would happen.
I agree with you, Joe, because here's what has to happen so everybody understands the rules here. The NFL networks cannot protect games before the season comes out. So up until yesterday, for example, CBS could not go to the league and say, we're protecting Bills Chiefs. Like, you can't put that anywhere but on our network. They can't do that. The league just puts these games, and they do try to take care of their partners throughout the years, and that's been a big CBS game, but the league puts it wherever it puts it. However, once it's slotted, as the season goes on and flex scheduling begins, that's when each network can say, nope, we're protecting one game from being flexed out. So this week it's going to be that game. This week it's going to be that game. Well, look at the schedule. These games, 4:25 p.m. at Steelers, against the Bengals, against the Eagles, all of those games against the Chiefs, 4:25 p.m. is the national window game. So the chances are the network, these games are on, which, by the way, Bengals Bills is Fox. You guys see that? It's very interesting.
It is
not CBS, it's Fox, right? Those networks are most likely going to protect that game because they've already slotted in and they're counting on that game being the national game. If they don't protect it and it does get flexed, that actually means probably that one of those teams is not where the league thought they would be at that time.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. We do have a couple primetime games within the division. Both the Dolphins and the Jets come here for late games. One of the big stories, you know, Sal, I don't know how much a coach would use this or how much a GM or a player would think about this, but I think you're probably seeing a lot of Bills fans looking at the travel, the time zones, no international. It is as easy a logistics schedule as you could possibly ask for. And some are taking that to say, like, all right, this is a year for the one seed. You know, sure, you've got to win your games, but there's not a lot of things to complain about with regard to, unless there's a blizzard that moves a game or two, which, of course, is always, you know, something that could happen. But, man, the whole thing kind of just sets up and looks really nice for a Bills fan, hoping they can, you know, get the job done.
Yeah, so you could take it from a competitive standpoint, and you could take it from a fan standpoint. From the competitive standpoint, you're right, Jeremy, this is a coach's dream schedule for the Bills. The Bills already had, going into, we knew, the second fewest miles traveled of all teams. Once we knew they were playing no international games, the second fewest miles traveled of any team in the league. The fewest is the Cincinnati Bengals, actually. The Bills are number two. So that's what coaches love. Less travel. You know, you're not on a plane a lot. You're maintaining routines, so you don't have to adjust a lot of body clocks, things like that. But speaking of that, not just travel, they play one game, one, outside the Eastern time zone. That is it. That is against the Houston Texans, and that's only in the Central time zone. It is a Thursday night. It's a little bit disruptive, but that's the only game they play outside the Eastern time zone. In fact, the only team the Bills play, three teams, I think Houston, it's Kansas City, and New Orleans are the only other teams that are outside the Eastern time zone, but they come to Buffalo. So, yeah, this is a coach's dream. I think for a lot of players, it's like that. Like, there's less travel, less on your body, get back to Buffalo, recovery time. All those things are really, really big. From a fan standpoint, though, there's not a lot of what we call destination cities this year. And the ones that are, Atlanta was made a Monday night game. Mm-hmm. Houston was made a Thursday night game. You could still do those, right? But now it makes it a little bit trickier maybe if you're going to do that. And then the other warmer weather cities, Atlanta, Houston, Carolina, Miami, you do get two in November, which is nice. The other two are before that. But I would say this, guys, starting November 30th, get the cold weather gear ready. Every single game is in a northeastern city and a northern city. Steeler outdoors, too. Pittsburgh, Orchard Park, New England, Cleveland, Orchard Park, Orchard Park.
That's cold. It does make it the way you say that. If you've never, this is me, and I'm hoping to do that this year. If there was ever a year maybe to do the Miami trip as a Bills fan, this might be the year. Because there isn't any other like elite trips. And November 9th, I mean, Sal, you'd know better than I would, but I feel like November 9th it's still obviously very warm down there, and it's just when it starts getting cold here.
Joe, I'll say this. You're right 100%. In fact, I said this on the podcast last night. The Miami trip is a great trip already because it's, you know, a lot of Bills fans, displaced fans going down there. I mean, when you go down to the Miami game and you are on A1A and it's just Bills fans packing all of Miami and South Beach, it's amazing, right? It's a great party. But what's happened is over the last few years, you had the one game was flex on Sunday night. Then the other, you had the game that was last year was Thursday night. Mm-hmm. I think there was a holiday mixed in there, right? And it's made it a little bit tougher, more challenging. You have Russ Salvatore has an annual party down there at the Blue Martini. And, you know, I go to that and say hi to people. It's great. Having this game on a Sunday at 1 p.m. is the best time to have it.
Yeah.
Have it Sunday at 1 p.m. because Bills fans can make a regular weekend trip out of it. And you're right. It's November, right? Hey, it's going to be a little colder here. It's not the worst time of the year in Buffalo, obviously. We could have some decent temperatures and it won't be that bad. You never know. It's hit and miss. But you're right. To me, this is the perfect year to go to Miami.
Yeah, the last time I can obviously remember that game's during the day in Miami was the day that it was like 99 degrees.
Yes,
week three.
That's right.
Because it was so early in the season. Sal, what about where the bye week ends up? We talked a little bit about this yesterday, week seven. Earlier maybe than the Bills would hope for, but again, with logistics and the way their schedule sets up, maybe, you know, doesn't end up being that terrible.
Right, so I think if you ask the Bills, they'd probably, you know, if you give every team their choice, I think the Bills would rather have it later. Most teams would. I think middle of the season is good. I think later in the season seems to be a little bit more, you know, conducive considering a 17-game season these days for, you know, for every team. So probably that. Remember the Bills went to London a couple of years ago. They were given an option. Every team is, do you want your bye right after? They said no. They wanted to take their chances of getting it later. And they did wind up getting it later. So that tells me they'd probably want it a little bit later. Now, that's right. But let me go back to what I said about Hoyt and Ogunjobi, guys. So those guys, they can start practicing after four games. So after week four, Larry Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt can start practicing. They'll miss Baltimore, Jets, Dolphins, Saints. That means then they can start practicing. They'll miss Patriots. They'll miss Falcons. Then they get a whole extra week. They're actually going to have 3 weeks of practice before coming back and playing against the Panthers. From a roster standpoint, like that's also good. That's reinforcements. Maybe you have a couple of guys getting dinged up. They get an extra week of practice. So I think you could look at it like that. I think, you know, all in all, you'd want your bye a little bit later. There's no doubt. I do think there's a little something to be said, though, for that particular week and having a bye.
Sal Capaccio, schedule breakdown. A lot of lead up to it. Now we finally have the whole thing. And then, Sal, the other storyline is the closing of Highmark Stadium, right? This is the final season at this version of Highmark Stadium, this stadium. The Jets to finish, the Eagles late in the year. The Eagles game could be very meaningful. It wouldn't surprise me if the Jets game is not meaningful, but we have to wait to see how that all plays out. You mentioned finishing in the cold. I wonder if the Bills had any sort of requests along the way, like last game of the season, let's have it at our place, or let's make sure we get some December games to finish things out. You know, teams can make some level of request or kind of ask, not that it's always honored, but closing at the stadium against the Jets, like that'll be a special day probably regardless of what the record is.
Yeah, I don't know if the Bills did this. Maybe we can find out at some point. I wouldn't be surprised if they requested the Jets, but also, you know, we know that if it's going to be Week 18, there's only one of three teams it can be. Didn't have to be Week 18. We had a bit of a debate. I think we talked about this. Do they do Week 17? Do they do Week 18? Because what if you do Week 18 and the starters don't play, right? I mean, you're closing out the season. There's no Josh Allen. Well, now you get both. So, you know, you're guaranteed in some capacity here. But the last game is going to be the New York Jets. And the reason I say request the Jets, it is the first game ever played in the stadium, right? I think that, to me, it feels like this was intentionally done by the league in whatever capacity, which is they're intentionally scheduling the last regular season game against the team that opened the first regular season game, the New York Jets. Do you guys know what happened in that game back in 1972, by the way?
I do not. 72.
The Bills beat the Jets 9-7 on the strength of three field goals in the very first regular season game ever at Highmark Stadium. Who knows with the weather and if the Bills have things wrapped up and they're just kind of resting starters, maybe we get something like that again. So you're right, Jeremy, I think. But, you know, when we go back to our conversation with Mike North, he said they think about the last year in the stadium, but it's not something they really build the schedule around like they do the first year of a stadium, right? The first year is, okay, we're opening this building, showing it off to the league and our partners and the nation. You know, that's next year for the Bills, 2026, opening Highmark Stadium. So, yeah, they're thinking about it. And we all know, too, listen, I mean, anything can happen. Bills could have a bad year, and that's always possible. But I think we all realize that this is probably not going to be the last game, the Jets, right? They're going to have a home game, you hope, at the stadium during the playoffs. So I think all that has to matter. One other note about this. The Eagles game on the week 17, it is a 4:25 p.m. Sunday game. It is not eligible. It is not in that group to be moved to Saturday night on Peacock. There are five games. I think it's five. I tweeted them out. You can take a look at them. There are five games week 17 that are TBD Saturday. Mm-hmm. That is not one of them. Of the five games, one of them will be played Saturday night. The Bills are playing on Sunday that week against the Philadelphia Eagles. So for all the talk we had about the Peacock game and whatever, the Bills will not be there. Here, you got Seahawks-Panthers, Cardinals-Bengals, Ravens-Packers, that seems juicy, Texans-Chargers, Giants-Raiders. One of those games will be this Peacock game.
How do you feel about the Philly game being that late in the year in terms of how meaningful it could be or the potential? I don't know how likely it would be. It would certainly be possible, though, Sal, that those two teams, you know, I don't think they'd be resting starters, but there's a chance maybe they're not playing for a ton by that point in the year.
Yeah, I don't love it. I think for purposes of, you know, what you said, it seemed like it was maybe fit. Late would be fine. This is a little bit later than I thought, so you're right. At that point, you know, what are they playing for? But I think we get a little ahead of ourselves sometimes with that, Joe, because it seems to me like week 17, it has happened. Week 17 is generally a week where teams are still fighting for seeds, right?
Yeah.
To me, they're probably fighting for the one seed. And unless you have a two-game clear lead for the one seed, you're still fighting for something. And I mean, that would mean you could have a great year and that could happen. might not. It's not maybe not in the division, but I still think you're probably playing for something meaningful there.
Last thing, someone in the YouTube chat just mentioned this. When we get the Bills rivalry uniforms, so the only thing we know about that is that it'll be home against a division rival, and I mean, we could guess at which one it would be. I don't know how you'd really figure that out other than when you think early in the season, because I don't know that they'd wait all the way until week 18 against the Jets, which would also, again, be the final game at the stadium where they'd introduce something brand new.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. So you have basically, but you have two choices there. They're night games, right? The other two are night games. So do you do it on Thursday night? I think Sunday, I don't know this. I'm just a good question. I wonder if Sunday Night Football against the Patriots fits for this because it's Sunday night NBC, very watched type of game, not Thursday night. Maybe that's where you put that. I'm not sure though.
That's a good. I like that theory for sure, and it would be early either way. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline.
Speaking of the Patriots, by the way, real quick, Patriots have three primetime games.
Mm-hmm.
All three are against the what is called New York teams. We all know there's only one actual New York team. Okay,
but yes,
all three are against the New York teams. I mean, I think that the league here is telling us, okay, like we're going to put the Patriots on, big market, they have a nice young quarterback, but think about it. I mean, yes, the Jets aren't going to be very good, but they paired the Patriots up with three kind of anchor teams, meaning two teams from the largest market in the country and one with the league MVP, right? So it's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I just look at it and think, like, what are they thinking there? And you could say, no, Sal, stop it. The Jets stink and they're just putting them because the Patriots. And that's fine. I get it, but it is still pairing them with the largest market twice, the Jets and the Giants. And then also with the league MVP.
Yeah, I was looking at the list of who has what. The three teams, and I don't really think this is much of a surprise, the three teams without any primetime games, Cleveland, Tennessee, and New Orleans. Maybe you could have thought Tennessee just because Cam Ward, number one overall pick. But it's not like he's the most hyped number one pick ever. And then Jacksonville, Indy, Carolina only had one. I would say, though, of those teams, Sal, the ones that either had zero or one primetime games, I actually am a little surprised by Jacksonville. Like, not to say they're like, you know, they should get five, but I thought there'd be more of a curiosity for this unicorn, Travis Hunter, both sides of the ball. Like, maybe we get him on early in the year, a Monday night game or something, for the curiosity of it. But it's also the Jaguars, so I guess they only get one.
Speaking of the Titans, they had a great schedule reveal video, by the way.
They did. Was that your favorite of the schedule release videos?
I have not watched them all. Okay. I mean, the Chargers towed the line again. The Chargers were very, very, and we all know the Colts had to delete theirs.
Yeah,
after some things that happened and what they put on there. Oh, my gosh. But the Titans had theirs where they did like if you suffer from, what is it called, Schedule Rizzy or something? I don't know, something
schedule
like that.
Schedule Rizzy, yeah.
And like they went through it. And then the funniest part, you have to pay attention. At the end, they said side effects include, and they go through each game, and you have to hear what they say when they match it up. They literally say diarrhea when they show the Browns.
I think I missed that at the end. I have to go back
that's
and watch that.
That's the funny part. Like you have to, it's not just the commercial, it's funny. Go to the end, watch when they say side effects include, and they go through all the teams, although they only do the division teams once, not twice, and they have something like an adjective to be said about each team they show, and it's like, oh my God, I can't believe they said that.
And the Bills getting Allen Iverson is a pretty good get.
AI.
For AI. Were you an AI guy? Did you like Iverson?
No, because I went to Syracuse, and he's a Georgetown guy.
Right.
When he got to the league, I mean, he's exciting, but we hated Allen Iverson and those years.
That makes sense. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline, Norton Automotive Extra Point Show at 10 o'clock, and also it's always game day in Buffalo. Him and Matt already broke it down. That's available to you on the Odyssey app as well. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio, and we will continue taking your reaction on the schedule, and we'll have Howard pick the Bills, which, of course, get ready for that. I feel like he's going to go 15-2. For this. Jeremy and Joe, your phone calls next at 803-0550 here on WGR.